Perek Zayin Mishnah Beis until Perek Zayin Mishnah Hey. We've begun to discuss the halachas of geneva, of stealing secretly, and the halacha is that if you're found to have been the thief, then you have to pay back tashlumei chefel, which is the item itself which you stole, plus the value. So it's like you're paying back double the value of the thing which you stole. And we also mentioned that if you slaughter or you sell the thing which you stole, if it's an ox or a sheep, then not only do you have to pay tashlumei chefel, you also have to pay tashlumei arba'a v'chamisha, which is 4 or 5 times the value of the animal. So the Mishnah says, gonav al pi shnayim, if you stole by the mouth of two witnesses come and say that you stole the thing, so you're going to have to pay tashlumei chefel, tovach u'mocher al pihem, and it was by their mouth, the same witnesses who said that you slaughtered or sold it. Or even if it's two totally separate witnesses who say that you slaughtered or sold it, you have to pay 4 or 5 times the amount of the value. Even though usually if you have two different sets of witnesses who give testimony about half a thing or half a punishment, usually that's not enough. You have to have the same witnesses who give witness about the whole thing. Here we look at it as separate things. We look at it as stealing, and we look at it as selling or slaughtering. And therefore, even if it's different witnesses for the different parts, we do look at it as if it's different things, and therefore it's fine if it's different witnesses who say so. Gonav u'macha b'Shabbos. If someone steals and sells the animal on Shabbos, or gonav u'macha l'avod zara, or he steals and sells it to avod zara, these things are of course osa. Gonav tovach b'yom ha'kippurim, or he stole and he slaughtered the animal on Yom Kippur, the punishment for that is actually kores, which is a sort of punishment which you get from Shomayim, you get from Hashem, where one dies early or whatever it is. We won't go into the details now. In all these cases, even though you're not allowed to do it, and in fact in this last case even chayav kores, you're still going to be chayav to pay back the money, the tashlumei arba'a v'chamisha, 4 or 5 times the amount of the value of the animal. And we don't say that since you're getting a harsher punishment, you don't get the lesser punishment. Like we've mentioned previously, we have a rule of kim lei b'drabomine, that if you're chayav two punishments for the same thing, you only get the more harsh punishment. However, that only applies if both punishments are given by man, by Beis Din. But kores has nothing to do with Beis Din, and therefore we don't apply that rule, and you would have to pay. Gonav mishal oviv, another scenario. What happens if someone steals an ox or a sheep from his father, and he slaughters or sells it, v'achar kach meis oviv, and after he does so, then his father dies. So at the time that he slaughtered or sold the animal, he became obligated to pay his father 4 or 5 times the amount of the value. And therefore when the father dies, his inheritors, i.e. this person's brothers, inherit that money. Whereas we're going to see later on that if his father died before he slaughtered or sold it, then he's already inherited part of that animal. Because he splits that animal, or like, he splits all the animals between his brothers. And therefore he has a share in that already, and therefore he won't need to pay. But here, since his father was alive, and therefore his father owned the animal when he slaughtered it or sold it, therefore he's hired to pay the father, and if the father dies, they have to pay the inheritors, i.e. his brothers. What happens if he sells it and then slaughters it? And after he slaughtered it, and meaning after he became obligated to pay the money, hikdash, he made it hikdash, meaning he designated it to go to the Beis HaMikdash. Since he only did that after he became obligated to pay, in all these cases, he has to pay 4 or 5 times the amount that the animal is worth. Again, 4 times the amount if it's a sheep, and 5 times the amount if it is a ox. What happens if he stole and slaughtered it for the sake of healing purposes? Meaning he didn't slaughter it to eat normally, he did it for an ill person, or even to chuck it to the dogs. Someone who shechts, he slaughters the animal and it comes out, it's discovered that this animal is actually treif. It has an internal blemish which makes it non-kosher, and therefore he's not even allowed to eat it, so shechting it didn't do much for him. Or someone who slaughters the animal which is not designated to the Beis HaMikdash inside the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. That's forbidden, and in fact, if you do that, you're actually not allowed to benefit from that meat. Nevertheless, in all these cases, the actual slaughtering was a valid slaughtering. And therefore, Mishan Tashmi Abba Bachamisha, you have to pay 4 or 5 times the amount because you did a valid slaughtering, even though later on you might not be able to eat it. That's because of another issue. However, Rabbi Shimon played the Mishnah Elu. Rabbi Shimon holds that these last two cases, where you're not allowed to eat the meat, if it's treif or it was slaughtered in the wrong place, in that case there was an invalidity within the slaughtering itself, because you're not even allowed to eat it as a result of that shechting. Therefore, you'll be exempt from paying the extra amount of the 4 or 5 times amount. You'll only have to pay tashlumei chefel, the double amount of the value, but not 4 or 5 times the amount. Mishnah Gimel, the halacha is that if two witnesses come along and say someone did something, and then two other witnesses come along and they say, we don't know if that is true. However, we know that you, the witnesses, could not have known that that was true, because you were with us at that time. So you could never have seen that. So the halacha is that the first pair of witnesses are called Edim Zomimim, false witnesses, and they get whatever punishment they try to give to the people they were testifying against. So the mission tells us, if someone steals by the mouth of two witnesses, Two witnesses say that he stole, and the same witnesses say that he slaughtered or sold the animal, and then they are found to be Adam Zomim, false witnesses. Shalman HaKol, they have to pay everything, they have to pay four or five times the amount, because that's what they tried to make this person pay. Next scenario, Gonal Pishnaim. If two witnesses say that he stole, and two different witnesses say that he slaughtered or sold the animal, and then Elov Elinim to Zomim, they both are found to be Zomim, to be false witnesses. The first witnesses who say that he stole, they tried to make him pay double, and therefore they have to pay double. And the last pair of witnesses who say that not only did he steal, but he also slaughtered it or sold it, how much above the amount which he was already paying were they trying to make him pay? He was already going to pay twice the value, but they wanted to make it up to four or five times the amount. They need to pay for that difference, two or three. So the last pair of witnesses have to pay three times the value, and that would be the halacha for an ox. And if it was a sheep, then it would be twice the value, because that's the amount that above the already amount that they were paying that they tried to make him pay. What happens if only the last pair are found to be Zomim, which means that really he did steal, and there are witnesses that he did steal, but there are no witnesses that he shechted or sold the animal. So who Mishal Tashmi Chayfel? He, the thief, has to pay for the Tashmi Chayfel, the double of the amount. The Hey Mishal Tashmi Shlesha, and the last pair of witnesses who were found to be false, they have to pay three times the value or two for a sheep. What happens if one of the last pair of witnesses are found to be false? That whole second testimony is nullified, because testimony requires two witnesses, and now you've only got one left, which is standing, and therefore it's an invalid testimony. And in fact, the one person who was found to be a false witness, he does not need to pay anything, because the halacha is that Aden Zomim, false witnesses, only need to get the punishment which they tried to give the other person if they're both found to be Zomim. But if one person is found to be Zomim, then he does not need to pay. Okay, what happens if one of the first pair of witnesses who say that he stole, that he is found to be a Zomim? In that case, all the testimony becomes nullified. And the reason for this is because, like we mentioned before, Shem Ein Geneva, there's no testimony about the stealing, there can be no testimony about the slaughtering or the selling, because that includes the Tashmei Chayfel. That's just adding on. Not only does he have to pay double, he has to pay four or five times the amount. But if there's no double to start with, then we ignore the second testimony of the slaughtering or selling. Okay, Mishnah Dalet. The Mishnah is now going to go back to the cases we had in Mishnah Base, but the situations in our Mishnah are going to be slightly different, and therefore it's going to have a different halacha. First says the Mishnah, Gonal Pi Shnayim, if someone steals something by the mouth of two witnesses, we name two witnesses, come and say he stole this for Torah Chumach HaPi Edechod, but this time only one witness says that he sold or slaughtered the animal, or Pi Atzmai, or he confessed to slaughtering or selling the animal. Now there's a rule that Moida Beknas Potter, if someone confesses to owing a fine, then he's exempt from paying it. And since here, all the payments, the double and the four or five times amount, that's not compensation, because giving back the actual thing is compensation. Giving back extra is a fine as a sort of punishment to you. And therefore, since it's a fine, he can't be chayv to pay it if it's only his confession which makes him chayv. He needs actual witnesses to say that it's chayv, and therefore here in this case, Mishan Tashmi Chayfel, he does need to pay for double, because there are two witnesses who say he stole it. However, in Mishan Tashmi Abba Chamisha, he does not need to pay four or five times the amount, because there aren't two witnesses who say that he slaughtered or sold that. Okay, next situation. Gonav V'Torach B'Shabbos. If he stole and slaughtered it on Shabbos, if you slaughter an animal on a Shabbos, that's breaking Shabbos, and the person is Chayv Misa. He's killed by Beis Din. And like we mentioned before, we have the rule, Kim Le B'Drabba Mineh, that he only gets the harsher punishment, and therefore, since both punishments are from Beis Din, one is death, one is paying, he's only killed and doesn't need to pay. And also, very important, even if in this situation he's not killed for whatever reason, let's say he does it by mistake or something, since there is a way of him getting the death penalty, so he doesn't need to pay. Okay, next situation. Gonav V'Torach L'Avod Zarah. Or if he stole and slaughtered it for the name of Avod Zarah. Again, that's a death penalty. If he stole from his father and then his father died, and after his father died, then he slaughtered or sold it. Well, after his father died, he inherited part of it. It's part of the inheritance, which is split between him and his brothers. So the moment we look at this individual cow and say he owns, let's say, a fifth of it. If there are five brothers, let's say he owns a fifth of that animal. So since he owns part of it, he's not going to be chayav for slaughtering it. Or if he sold it, if he stole it and then made it hekdesh, he's designated for the Beis HaMikdash. And the truth is, this would only work to make something you stole hekdesh if the original owner has given up hope of getting it back. In that case, then you can make it hekdesh because it no longer belongs to the original owner.
tovach u'mocha, and if once it's hektish, then he slaughters or sells it, that means that he didn't sell or slaughter something which belonged to someone else, now belongs to hektish, and therefore mishamdash mechefel, in all these cases, he does still need to pay double the amount. In the first cases, the death penalty was only for the slaughtering, not for the stealing, and therefore in all these cases, even the other ones, the problem was in the slaughtering, not in the stealing, and therefore he still needs to pay for the stealing, but for einu mishamdash me'abba chamisha, he is exempt from paying 4 or 5 times the amount, as we explained the reasons above. Rabbi Shimon says, now the Gemara explains, Rabbi Shimon is actually not referring to what we just said. Rabbi Shimon is arguing on a different statement, but a similar case to the previous case we had. It's also a case of hektish. And what is that case? The halacha is that if someone steals something from someone else, which is already hektish, let's say Reuven makes his animal hektish, and then Shimon steals that animal. The halacha is that whereas usually any normal thief has to pay 2 or 4 or 5 times the amount, if the animal he stole was already hektish, he doesn't need to pay any double or any 4 or 5 times the amount. He has to give back the animal, of course, but he is exempt from paying tashlumei chefel or tashlumei abba b'chamisha. The reason for this is because the Torah says, v'gunav mebeis ha'ish, and if it was stolen from the house of the man, of the person. We learn from there that if it was owned by the person, not owned by Hekdash. So that's the halacha. However, Rabbi Shimon holds this is not always the case. Rabbi Shimon says, there are two types of karbonis. One is a neder, one is a nedova. A neder is when someone says, I am going to designate a animal. I'm going to bring an animal to the Beis HaMikdash as a korban. It doesn't specify which one. The other type is a nedova, and that's when he says, I'm designating this animal, I'm going to bring this animal to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, what's the difference between these two? What happens, let's say, if the animal which he was planning on bringing dies or gets lost, he can't bring that. So if he made a neder, he didn't specify a specific animal, then so what if that animal died? He didn't say he was going to bring that animal, so he's got to bring a different one. But if he said, I'm going to bring that animal, if he can't bring that animal, his obligation doesn't transfer into a different animal because his whole designation was only on that animal. If that animal can't be brought, so he's exempt. So Rabbi Shimon says, Kodshim shechayv b'achoryusam, karbonos which the owner is responsible to replace them if they are lost. And which type is that? That's a neder, where he didn't specify a specific animal. He said, I'm going to bring an animal. So if his animal, which he happened to be planning on bringing, dies, he still has to bring a different karbon. In that case, you would need to pay, the thief would need to pay 4 or 5 times the amount. And if he doesn't slaughter it or something, he would have to pay double. Because in this case, he's also technically stealing from that person, because that person will now have to lose another animal. However, he agrees that if it's a korban which the owner will not be obligated to replace, then potter, then the thief is exempt, because then it's literally like that animal belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, and so the thief would not have to pay back the owner, wouldn't have to pay back double. Mishnah Hey, the Torah says that if you sell it or you slaughter it, then you have to pay 4 or 5 times the amount. We learn from there that if, let's say, you sell half of it or you don't do a complete valid slaughtering, then you'll be exempt. So for example, if you sell it except for 1/100 of the animal, you say, I'm selling you 99% of this animal, but I'm keeping 1% of it for myself. The Gemara explains that actually that 1% can't be any part of the animal. It has to be a part of the actual meat, the part which is eaten, which is basically the whole animal except for the horns or the shearings. Okay, by Shutfus, or he had a partnership in that item, in that animal, meaning that before the stealing happened, he jointly owned an animal with someone else, and then without permission of the other person, he sold this animal. By selling the animal, he's basically stealing the other 50% from the other partner. So he's certainly chayav for stealing. However, the sale, since not the entire sale was forbidden, because his part he was allowed to sell, therefore he won't be chayav to pay for the selling. Or if someone slaughters it, but before he manages to a complete slaughtering, animal became a novella. A novella is an animal which dies without being slaughtered correctly. So either it just died, or the slaughtering was invalid, which means that it's a novella, and that's forbidden to eat, and obviously it wasn't a correct slaughtering. Hanecher, or if someone kills the animal by tearing out its nostrils, going down the animal by tearing it to hamaker, or if you tear out the windpipe and the food pipe, that's obviously not a valid shechita, you have to cut it with a knife, and therefore shantash mechefel, you still have to pay the double for stealing. However, since the selling or the slaughtering was not complete and not correct, you do not need to pay 4 or 5 times the amount for selling or stealing it. Okay, in general, the reason why one is chayev for selling or slaughtering the animal is because he becomes the owner of it. Now, in order to become the owner of something, he has to do a kinyan, an acquisition, which can just be a simple action like moving the animal, pulling it, lifting it up. But either way, it's only in that case that you'll be obligated to pay for the stealing or the selling. And therefore, gonav b'rishus habaylim, if you steal the animal in the owner's domain, let's say in his back garden, and then you take it out and slaughter it or sell it outside their rishus. So when you took it out, you acquired it. Or you stole it when it was outside their domain. Let's say you found it on the street, you knew it was his. And then you brought it back into his garden, interesting, into his domain, and you slaughtered or sold it there, or you stole, slaughtered, or sold it outside the person's domain, since here he probably pulled the animal or moved it in order to slaughter it, he has to pay 4 or 5 times the amount because he owned it when he slaughtered or sold it. But if he did all of that in the person's domain, and we're talking about a case where he did not do a kinyan, he didn't acquire it, for example, let's say he dragged it somewhere, but he didn't actually lift it up or move it properly, in that case, potter,
he'll be exempt because he didn't acquire it. In fact, not only is he exempt from paying 4 or 5 times the amount, he doesn't even need to pay double, because even paying double comes from the fact that you have now owned it. You only are considered to have stolen it if you've acquired it. And since in these cases he hasn't acquired it, he won't even need to pay back double the amount.